I was supposed to speak on Life Group. I know that I was going to continue the discipleship series, but I realized I could incorporate it together, talking about the Life Group today. And the title of the sermon is Life Group Basic, and it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Okay, now you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. My heart, when I look at the church, yes, you know, we have imperfection, there's struggle, there's problems in the church. But when I look at the church, I have tremendous faith, tremendous belief in the church. Why? Because the Bible says the church is the body of Christ. Okay? It's the body of Christ. And Christ, that means Christ lives and moves in the church. Right? Specifically, the Bible says here in this passage, you are the body of Christ. Say that to your neighbor. You are the body of Christ. And in another reason I have so much faith and believe in the church is because the church is you. Right? The church is you. The church is not the building. It's not this building. It's not an individual. Okay? It's not about just programs and activity. Church is a community of believers. Right? It's a community of believers. But how do you grow as a community of believers? How do we develop this community basics? And Sunday service is not enough. Okay? I want to just let you know that Sunday service is not enough. Sunday service, you see, main focus of Sunday service is worship and celebration. Okay? What does that mean? You see, as a Christian, we're supposed to encounter God throughout the week. Okay? We encounter God throughout the week individually and as a church community throughout the week. And we come together on Sunday to celebrate and worship that encounter that we have with God as a community. Now, but to mature as a believer, as a community of believer, that maturity to grow in as a body of Jesus Christ, life group is so important. Okay? Small group ministry is so important to this church and to any church. It's because, you know, I was thinking about this. As a Christian, I want you to know, I became a Christian when I was 18 in high school. And 18 to when I was 40 years old. Right? And right now, I'm 45. Just kidding. I'm 57. Right? I'm 57. From 18 years old to 40 years old, All those years, I led small groups. In my youth group, I was a small group leader in the youth group in high school. When I was in college, I led small groups. In my church, I always led small group in my home church. And then when I went into ministry as a youth pastor, I led small group. College pastor, I led small group. And my first church plant, all those years there, I led small groups. And I was thinking about this as a pastor of a church. What helped me most? Okay, what helped me most? It wasn't seminary, but the many years of being involved in small group ministry helped me to grow as a leader in a church community. Why? Because it was the small group ministry that taught me love is important. It was in the small group ministry. See, when you're in a small, you got to get to know people. You got to get involved with people, right? And so in the small group ministry, what I learned was relationship is important. See, if I was a pastor and just preached to you, I don't have to really have this relationship. I don't have to talk to you. But when I led small group, I had to build relationship. And it was in the small group ministry that God worked in me to overcome my insecurities and fears. And, you know, people will say to me, you know what I appreciate about you, Pastor? You are very real. You're very vulnerable. Guess where I learned that? In small group. Okay? In order to really build relationship, guess what? You have to be real. You have to be vulnerable. People say, Pastor Sam, you're very approachable. Where do you think I learned that? Small group ministry. In small group ministry, I learned to listen. If I wasn't involved all those years in small group ministry, you know what? I'll just preach to you. That's all I would do. But it was in small group ministry I learned to listen to people. And it was in small group ministry where I learned about commitment. Right? You know, because I would lead small group and one Thursday night, or Friday night that I had my small group, there would be like two people. Right? There would be sometimes, there would be one. There were other times, nobody came. Nobody came when I was leading small group. And through that process, God taught me commitment. It was in the small group that God taught me how to deal with difficult people, confronting issues with people in people's lives. It was in the small group ministry, right, I learned really to go deep in intercession and prayer. Why? You know, when I went into full-time ministry, I used to pray about God. You know, this was my prayer topic. God, you know, I'm going to preach this Sunday. Help me when I preach. But when I got, as I am involved with small group, I would get to know people. I would see their issues. I would see the brokenness. I would see the spiritual attack that my brothers and sisters are going through. That made me pray more intensely. That made me intercede. Go deeper in intercession. So the basic in me as, you know, a lot of the things that God taught me where I'm an effective leader of a church, I did not learn that in seminary. I learned it through small group ministry. And this is the reason I believe for us to grow as a community of believers, to grow in love, and to grow in ministry, the best place and catalyst is the life group. I should just end there, but I got 3 points. I got 3 points through this sermon. Basic things we grow in life group, okay? Number one is relationship. Relationship. Matthew 18, verse 20. Matthew 18, verse 20. This is, to me, a small group, life group passage. You know why? It doesn't say where there's 100 or 200 gathered together in my name. No, it says where there's two or three. That's the minute. Where there's two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. And one of the most important things as a body of Christ, as a church, is our relationship with Christ. Amen? Right? It's our relationship with Christ. And in life group, this is what Jesus says. Okay? In small group, right? It's not, the most important thing is not what time you meet. It's important, but it's not the most important thing. It's not the place that you meet. Is it at church? Is it at my home? Is it at my apartment? It's not that there's snacks and food. It's not that how many people come or who is there. But the most important thing is that Christ is in that meeting with you. Amen? That Jesus is in the midst of that meeting. And this is the promise of God. When you get together in life group, when you get together in small group, Jesus promises. This is his promise. I will be there with you. I will be there with you. You know, and so it's in the life group that you're going to know God's love, his kindness, his grace, his mercy. But also His holiness, the power of God, the greatness of God. God will love you and he will challenge you in life group. God will comfort you, and also God will shake and transform you. Will transform you. Related with relationship, but relationship doesn't stop there. As you love God, as you learn to love God more in life group, God will teach you to love others. Okay? To love others. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Right? Wow, it's very, direct here. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Right? And what small group ministry does, life group ministry does, the way God builds relationship with one another, with each other, you know, as life group leaders and as life group members, is that as you get to know each other, you realize that we're not perfect, right? And issues will come out in your life group. Issues will come out, right? If you don't want your issues to come out, then don't have any relationship with people, right? This is God's way. It's not a bad thing. It is good. What God will bring to surface when you get together in small group is what prevents relationships in your heart. That's what's going to be brought up. Okay? For example, if you have a hard time committing to a relationship, guess what? It will come out when you go to life group. Okay? All right? If you've been you go to a life group for like a week and then don't go the whole year, then you go for 2 weeks next year, then you don't go for the whole year. Well, it might be you have a commitment issue. Right? It might be that. And if you have a commitment issue, it will prevent deep relationship. And it will come out in life group. If there's insecurity, okay, that prevents relationship, guess what's going to happen? It will come out in life group. If somebody's very self-focused, self-centered, it will come out in life group. If you have a guarded heart, if you lack trust, if somebody you drain people around you, there's rejection, there's shame, there's past issues, it will come out in life group. Because as you get to know each other, that's relationship. You got to get to know each other. Right? As you build relationship, we're not perfect. Right? We're not perfect. But this is what I want to challenge Catalyst this year. Okay? When this happens, it will come out. Instead of giving up, instead of blaming others, instead of just doing what's most comfortable for you. See it as something God is highlighting in your life. Right? This year. See it as something that God is highlighting. And can you do this? Can you pray through it? Spend some time praying through it. And in your life group, okay, become vulnerable and share with what God's highlighting in your life group. And as a life group, walk it out. Walk out the healing. Walk out the transformation. Walk out the freedom. Develop this accountability in your life group. In other words, overcome the things that break relationships. That's why we get it together in life group. To overcome the things that break relationships. Overcome the things that you run away from so that you can't develop a deep relationship. What you're scared about. Okay? And let's build this community. And God's people said. Okay. So the second thing. Basic things, we grow in life group. Number two, serve is this biblical view of serving. Okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Okay? Serve one another humbly in love. See, when it comes to serving in the body of Christ, in the church, the modern time, there's a tremendous focus today on finding your passion. You know, there's a tremendous focus in a lot of churches. Find your passion. Is it teaching? Is it worship? Is it intercession? Is it leadership? Is it the prophetic ministry? Is it in a healing ministry? Is it mission? Is it revival? Find your passion. All right? There's a tremendous focus on that, and I don't agree with it anymore, because I believe there's more basic to serving. There's a foundation that needs to be built. Those who are just seeking passion, I see them go up and down all the time. If they're just focused on finding their passion. Right? In the Bible, there were 7 deacons that were chosen in the book of Acts. And that word deacon, right? Deacon translated is a servant. Okay? Servant. And those 7 initial deacons, their primary role was to serve. Okay? The first deacon were raised up in the book of Acts. It was not about finding their passion. It was not about figuring out their spiritual gift, finding out their calling. The role of a deacon in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, is mainly to serve. They serve taking care of the needs of the church. They serve meals, those deacons. That's what they did. They serve. When the people got together, they were the one washing the dishes. They were the one cooking. They were the one serving people, deacons. They were the one to make sure the widows were taken care of. They provided everyday service because of the pressing need in the church. They were called deacons. Yeah. Now, this is so important. Developing a servant's heart. Servant heart is basic foundation to ministry, to leadership, to walking out God's purpose for your life. A servant heart is more important than figuring out your spiritual gift. A servant heart is the foundation. You know why? Because servant heart is the foundation in growing in your spiritual gift. Servant heart is a foundation. I have learned in all these years of doing ministry, a servant heart is a foundation to leadership. That's why one of the deacons, 7 deacons that was chosen was Philip. Right? He was a deacon. He served tables. And years later, when there was a persecution, God used him to bring revival to Samaria. Samaria. Servant heart, you see, I was thinking about a servant heart keeps you focused on others instead of self. When you have a servant heart, you realize it's not all about you. It's not all about you. A servant heart keeps you humble. Okay? It prevents competition, comparison. It prevents envy and jealousy. You see, when you think you're so talented, you're better than everybody else, that's when envy and jealousy and competition comes into the church. But not when you have a servant's heart. There's no room in your heart for those things. A servant heart will keep you stable. You see, if you have a servant heart, because it's not about you, about having platform or position or people's applause, right? It will keep you stable. In the life group, and the reason I'm talking about it is in the life group is a great place to develop a serving, servant heart. It's in the life group. Right? Not, you know, being a worship leader because everybody's looking at you. That's not a good place. I mean, it's great. We need it. Right? See, because it's in the life group that you could volunteer to bring a snack for their next meeting. You could help out cleaning up afterwards instead of just going home. You could offer your home to host once in a while. You could help out a member in need in a life group. That's a great place to do it. You could help in coordinating and facilitating a meeting. You could encourage someone on their birthday in life group. Together as a life group, you could go to a soup kitchen. Do an outreach together. Serve in a short-term missions together. It's in life group where God can really develop a servant's heart. See, when you serve in life group, God uses life group to develop that servant's heart. Amen? Okay, number three. Basic things we grow in life group is reaching out. Okay, reach. I just put one word, reach. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay? This is not about, you know, just a mega, becoming a mega church with a lot of people. No, it's just those who were being saved. Lives were being transformed. People were coming to the Lord. People were being discipled. Okay? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, in the New Testament church, okay, they met in a big group meeting in the temple court. And the Bible says they also met house to house. And you got to understand, during that time, okay, in Jerusalem and in the Roman city, most people, their home was small. It was not a mansion. It was a very small home that could fit barely a family. Okay? And they met house to house. Right? And when they say house to house, that's a small group meeting. Okay? That's a small group meeting. And in the church, in a city, a church would have many small groups throughout the city, right? And there were many meetings happening every day. Different meetings happening. So there were always this Monday, there would be like three house churches getting together. Tuesday, there would be four. Wednesday, there would be two. Throughout the week, they had small group ministry. Okay? They had small group ministry. And this passage says, the Lord added to their number daily. Okay, this is the significance. Daily, those who were being saved. What this passage, what it's saying is, small group were involved in reaching their neighbors, their city, their community, sharing the gospel, loving the community around them. They were evangelizing. Small group ministries, that's what they were doing. That's why the Bible could say, daily. Huh? Daily, people were coming to the Lord. Huh? Meaning everyone was involved. Everyone was involved in loving the community. Now, the beauty of life group is that I see why. It is much more natural and comfortable for people who are unchurched to come to a small group than a large group Sunday meeting. Yeah, you know, because Sunday service for the unchurched is very unfamiliar. It could be intimidating and even uncomfortable. I remember when I was in college, I just decided to go to a Roman Catholic mass. I've never been to one. I just decided to go. I went there. I was sitting. Everybody stood up. I'm supposed to stand up. And I stood up. Then they sit down. and you know, after the prayer, they did this. And what's that? You know, and they recited something. I had no idea what they were doing. It was so confusing to me. Because the first time going to a Roman Catholic Mass. Well, unchurched, that's how they would feel if they came here. But if they go to a small group meeting, a life group, it is so much more natural, so much more comfortable for them. The beauty of life group is that it gives everyone an opportunity to reach out. Okay? You know, we think, Pastor Sam, you know, I bought a friend on a Sunday service. Go reach him. You know, it's your job. No. You see, when we have small group, you realize it's my job too. Okay? It's my job. Not just pastors and evangelists and the leaders. Everyone. And this is the New Testament model. All believers were involved in reaching the community. All believers. And the beauty of life group in reaching out is that there is a real partnership. See, when you are involved in a small group, in life group, you know, you could share. You know, I have a relative who don't know the Lord. You share that in your small group. Can you pray? And so there's a partnership. There's a group of people that will pray with you. You're not praying alone anymore. And then when you bring that friend or co-worker that does not know the Lord to life group, they know because they've been praying. And because of that, they will be extra friendly when they come to the life group. Okay? So there's a partnership in the gospel. Okay? Life group member could talk with them, show them love, and help you reach them for Christ. And another beauty of reaching out, a beauty of life group in reaching out, there's this natural follow-up for new believers. Okay? Say somebody came to the Lord, and it brings tremendous excitement to life group. Can you imagine? It brings tremendous excitement. And because you were involved with it, you care about this new believer. There's already a relationship. There's already care. There's accountability. There's discipleship, natural discipleship that happened because of life group. You see, reaching out, it's not about manipulating or shaming people into God's kingdom. The Bible says the reason God sent his only son is because God so loved the world. Right? And we're called to grow in love. You know, there's the movement of God's love. You first realize God loves me. Okay, this is very important, but it doesn't stop there. God's love is not limited. God's love moves in my home, in my family, in my children, in my church, in my community. What the Bible says is there's no limitation to God's love because God's love reaches every nation, every tribe, reaches the whole world. And so, as you move with God, your spiritual heart gets bigger, expands bigger and bigger and bigger. And what is a good way for our heart to expand? To love more? To seek God's love without limit? Life group. Okay. And God's people said, let's pray.